Amen. Amen. Why don't we open up in prayer? Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, that we are able to come and freely worship you, Lord. Father, to participate in the flowing of your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, we just pray today, Lord, that your Spirit just flow mightily amongst each one of us, Lord. Father, that we would be willing to step into the waters and be swept away in the river of your Spirit. Father, we just pray your anointing upon this service today, Lord. Father, may your words be spoken, Lord, and may each heart be touched, Lord, and may you just prompt each and every one of us to give as you place it upon our hearts. Father, we just commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I had the musicians come up early because I have a feeling that if I didn't, they won't be able to get up, because there's a few of you out there that can sing or make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and that would be young people. And so I'm going to go through a new song. So anybody that is from the St. Charles Assembly or was at Henry or knows the song, the words to Days of Elijah, I'd like you to come and join me up here, because you know what? It's good to get everybody up here to participate. And so I know there's a few that know this, and especially my family, because I made them come up first. And to make it easier for you guys, too, we do have it available for all of you to see, too. This shows up. Come on, there we go. Before we start singing this, I was thinking about the words to this song and the way the camp started, and talking about, you know, Ezekiel and the dry bones and just the way things are going. I want you to think about this, and I'm going to go through the words so you can see it as we read through the words the first time through. It says, "These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trials, of famine, and darkness, and sword. Still, we, those that are chosen, those that have their heart committed to the Lord to carry on what has been taught so far, we are the voice crying in the desert, 'Prepare ye the way of the Lord.'" He's coming back. It's riding on the clouds. And as it was said, at the trumpet's call, "So lift up your voice. It's a year of jubilee. And out of Zion's hill," and we heard about the mountain, "out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are all white in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord." So we're going to sing this. And when we get through all of it once, we're going to go through the song twice. And you can join us the second time with it. And if you know it, sing out as you're going up here. And you can stand if you want, because that way if you start singing as we're going, your lungs are going to praise out a lot better.
"These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are your days of the servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore. So we are the voice in the desert crying, 'Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, rising on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, so lift your voice.
Yeah. Amen. Just lift your hands up. Dot took a fall. Amen, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you.
Praise the Lord. We just continue to pray for our sister. And the enemy, there's always some kind of distractions. But that's not going to hold back God's program.
Amen.
God has some things in mind. And our sister is now being seated. And I think she's doing a little better. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this gives the opportunity that for those of us who God has indicated that healing ministry, you just stand ready, just be ready, because sometime during these meetings here, during this camp, the Spirit of the Lord may very well indicate a healing service, and your ministry is very, very important. So spend that time in prayer. And look to the Lord that healing ministry that God has indicated in you will be activated. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord that she's doing better. And Lord, our God is a mighty God, is He not? Amen. You know what? We're going to sing this song one more time, and then the song that I would like to sing after that ties in with what Rick was talking about last night, and I think I'll fit in right after this. So let's sing this song one more time. These are the days of Elijah. And let's claim it, because these are the days of Elijah. We need to take a stand. We need to stand firm in what we believe and know that Christ is coming back. And He's going to come back in His glory, and He's going to take care of the things of this world that seem to tear us away and tear things down and push away. And let's just claim it.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, till we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, rising on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Now the Zion till salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the tribals becoming a sect. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are all white in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, He comes, shining on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, so lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, out of Zion's in salvation come. Behold, He comes, rising on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, so lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, out of Zion's in salvation come. Yes. Riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice. To hear a jubilee, not a sign till salvation comes.
Amen. 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 I don't know how many of you know Cindy Arstead's song. The battle is not ours. This song I wanted to sing last night after Rick was talking. Because the battle is not ours. The battle's the Lord's. Amen. We've won the victory. But guess what? He's going to win the war. Amen. The enemy will fall without a spear or sword. For the Lord is on our side. For the battle is the Lord's. If you know it, sing it out.
The battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. We've won the victory, but He will win the war. Without a spear or sword, for the Lord is on our side, for the battle is the Lord. The battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord. He's won the victory, but He the enemy will fall. without a spear or sword, for the Lord is on our side, for the battle is the Lord's.
Again,
the battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's. We won the victory, but He will win the war. The enemy will fall without a spear or sword, for the Lord is on our side, and the battle is the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Lord. Amen. Amen, Lord.
Victory over all the powers of darkness, victory. When the battle's in a rage, and you'll send us in the fray, and God fights for those who pray. Victory, victory, victory over all the powers of darkness, victory. When the battle's in a rage,
I like to sing, Jesus, Your Name is Power. I don't think this one's in the red book either, so we'll throw the words up here for you. It goes, Jesus, Your Name is Power. Jesus, Your Name is Might. Jesus, Your Name will break every stronghold. Jesus, Your Name is Life. And then we're just going to go through those three verses, and then it goes from power to healing. Jesus, Your Name gives sight. Jesus, Your Name will free every captive. Jesus, Your Name is life. And then Jesus, Your Name is holy. Jesus, Your Name brings light. Jesus, Your Name above every other. Jesus, Your Name is life.
Jesus, Your Name is power. Jesus, Your Name is mine. Jesus, Your Name will break every stronghold. Jesus, Your Name is life. Jesus, Your Name. Jesus, Your Name gives sight. Jesus, Your Name will free every captive. Jesus, Your Name is life. Jesus, Your Name.
again.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is love. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is love.
Jesus, your name is healing.
Jesus, your name is light. Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your name is love.
Jesus, your name. That verse again.
Jesus, your name is holy. Jesus, your name brings life. Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
For yea, the call has gone out throughout all the earth. Amen. To the four corners of the earth, thus saith the Lord, that in this hour I am calling out again those who will hear the clarion voice of the Holy Spirit speaking unto them, come, come from where you are, come from all the organizations, all the structures of man, all those things that would divide, all those things that would keep you apart. And yea, I would say unto you, come. Come up into the mountain of the Lord. Come and learn of His ways. Come that He may teach you His paths. Yea, I say unto thee, reach out to one another in love. Do not let any boundaries or any traditions or things that would keep you apart. Let those things go that you may come and you may know the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is right. The way of the Lord is good. The way of the Lord will bring peace. It will bring orderliness. It will bring about those things which are those characteristics of the kingdom of God. Yea, I say unto thee, this is the hour and this is the time that you must come, you must flow together, you must heed the word of the Spirit of God. Do not lay down all of those things that would shackle you or bind you. Lay down all those things that would easily beset you, that you may walk with one another, that you may go hand in hand in the Spirit, that the kingdom of God may be brought upon the earth. Thus saith the Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For is not this the hour, saith the Lord, for the fulfillment of my word? My word has gone forth that it may gather in from the four corners of the earth all that hear my voice and will respond unto my call.
Am I not doing a work even in this hour, saith the Lord, to bring together those that are my body and my people, that they may stand in my counsel and hear my word and do my work, saith the Lord. For there is set before thee a great and mighty work to be accomplished. And that work, Father, is before thee even in this hour. Therefore gather thee together, saith the Lord, let thy heart to hear the word of the Lord, and stand in thy place. Walk at his bidding and do his work, saith the Lord, and it shall come together, and it shall not be overcome, and it shall not be for another generation or for another time. For this is the hour, saith the Lord, and this is the time. Arise ye, and stand in your place, for the Spirit of the Lord is speaking unto his own. Those who hear his voice, gather ye together and stand in the house of the Lord, for the work of the Lord is before thee. Thou shalt not be overcome, neither shall his work be prevented, for it has been set in its place. Even from the very beginning, it has been ordained, and it shall be fulfilled. Though the waters roar and the enemy rage, yet it shall go forward, saith the Lord. It shall not be deterred. Line upon line and precept upon precept, it shall come into its order until it stands a mighty temple of the Lord, the dwelling place of the Most High, in beauty and in honor, with every part according to the purpose and the plan of the Lord. Therefore humble ye yourselves, saith the Lord. Cleanse your hearts and cleanse your ways, for the Lord is preparing his house, and he is calling his own to stand in their place. For this is the hour, saith the Lord, and this is the day that it shall be so.
Amen, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
And yea, my people, do not fear. Do not say within yourselves, I cannot do this, for I tell you, you can. This is a body ministry. This is my body ministry, and I call you all together to bind together, to be together, and to strengthen and help each other. And remember that when two or more of you are gathered, I am there within thee to help thee and to guide thee. There is nothing I have said that you cannot do. If you really, really believe I can do it, I will bring it back to pass. And if you don't, lean on the others. Lean on all those around you. Draw from one another, for I am in them. And I give them strength to give you strength. I do not want you to walk this alone. I want you to become a body, bone upon bone and sinew upon sinew, so that you will grow together and be strong, so that the enemy cannot take over, so that we can take over the enemy. You are mine, my children, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you alone. Even if you are alone in a house, you are not alone. The Spirit can be there. The Spirit of my body will be with you and lead you and guide you and hold you through all these times, and you will overcome because I have overcome. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord.
When you hear the voice of the Lord today, do not harden your heart.
Amen.
Ask of me, I soften your heart. I give you desire to be changed. When you hear the voice of the Lord today, do not harden your heart. Ask of me, I give you soft heart and gentle heart. You can hear my voice in your sister. You can see me in your brother. Ask of me, I give you sight to see my presence among you. I am walking in you, in among you. Even this day, don't look back. Don't look your past. You will be defeated. Even don't look around others. You are going to be distracted. Even don't look inside. You will be distressed. Nothing in you. Look at me. Look up. You will be delivered. Because my name is holy. My name is healing. My name is power. It's for you today. Claim your inheritance. This is yours today. Don't let enemy have these things. It's yours today. Ask of me. I'll give you a soft and gentle heart and opening ears this day. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen, Lord. Amen.
These are indeed the days of Elijah. These are indeed the days of the prophet Moses. Did I not say that there would be a witness in the earth in the end of the days? Do you not know that you are called to be a part of this witness ministry? And I will enable you as you have never been enabled before. You will stand strong in the midst of your enemy. There will be no defeat for thee, I say unto thee. Do not be afraid. In yourself you cannot do it. You will not be enabled in your own strength. But my strength will be perfect in your weakness. Come forth, O ye witnesses of the Lord thy God, and stand firm in the faith that I have given you in your heart. Oh, do not be afraid. Do not hesitate. For I am the Lord thy God, and I will make you strong. I will make you victorious in this day. I will do all things for you that you cannot do for yourself. And you shall begin to understand. You shall begin to perceive. You will begin to understand the minds and hearts of those who need you most. And you will be drawn to them by the Spirit. And you will be able to minister faith and hope and confidence and peace and justice and purity and honesty to them. They'll begin to think well of themselves. And they too may become a part of the company of which you are a part. Fear not, O people of the living God, for this is indeed the days of Elijah and the days of the prophet Moses, and you shall be empowered as they were empowered. Thus saith the Lord thy God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Chosen, faithful, which category are you of, my child?
Choose you this day the way that you must go. Minister unto me. Minister unto those that I have appointed you to minister unto. And I say unto thee, thou shalt know when to heal, when to pray. Thou shalt know what to do in the ministry that I have given unto you. Just look unto me. Just look unto me daily. If you are they that will lay hands on and heal, look unto me. Look unto me daily. For I say unto you, I will lead you and I will guide you, and my body shall be built up. Yea, and the world shall come.
Hallelujah.
And in the power of my might, for I am with you, thus saith the Lord.
For yea, my children, I have called you together at this time and this place for mighty things. And yea, I have prepared you. I have given you the tools that you need through the gifts of the Spirit. But yea, you must use those gifts. You must use those gifts to strengthen the body. Lo, I am gathering together across the earth my church and my body, saith the Lord. Yea, be found faithful in the things that you have been taught, the things that you know, and the things that I have revealed to you, saith the Lord. Yea, be found faithful, that you may join that mighty company, Lord, that the Lord has gathered together to rule and reign with him. But yea, you must use the tools that I have given you. Yea, seek on how they are to be used in your life. Yea, seek me, talk with me, commune with me, and I will reveal to you the order that I have laid out and the plan that I have for you, saith the Lord.
You to be the light in this world. I have called you to spread my love, to live my love out loud. I have given you your ministry. I have given you your faith. I have called you to this place and this time and this hour so that you can be my light. Not your own light, but let my light reflect through you as the sun reflects off the moon. Oh, my child, be my moon. I have called you to this place. I have called you to this hour. I have called you to this camp, to this tabernacle. Please, my children, if you are here, listen. Listen and let me soften your heart. Let me dwell in you. For the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is willing to dwell in you. And if I dwell in you, there is nothing that can stand against you. There is nothing that can win the battle over me. For I am in you, my children. Surrender. Surrender your all to me. I know it's hard. I get it. It's hard to surrender that. But, oh, my children, do it. Do it, and you will be blessed forever and ever, for eternally. Do it, and I will shower you with my love and my praises, and we will dwell together in that secret place, and we will both find joy forever.
Evil in the world. You will be able to say a word and the enemy will depart. You will be able to give a word and people will be comforted. You will be able to say a word and the enemy will flee. My people, be strong in me. So whatever situation happens, much will happen in the world. The world will fall apart before you. But truly, I am your strength. I am your comforter. I will give you rest. I will give you words to say when they need to be said. Trust in me for all things, for I am with you always. Praise God.
The enemy will come and try to. He'll do everything in his power. But remember, I am the power. I am the strength. I've already won the victory. I have overcome everything that you are going to go through. So as you're struggling, if you're in fear, if you're worried, if you're hurt, just call upon my name. Pray to me. I am with you always, and I have already won the victory, says the Lord.
Lord, let me be faithful in walking with you. Led by your Spirit in all that I do. Seeking your kingdom first, not mine own way.
It's 39 in the back. You guys can be seated if you want while we sing this again.
Lord, let me be faithful in walking with you. led by your Spirit in all that I do, seeking your kingdom first, not mine own way.
One more time and make it a truthful prayer.
Lord, let me be faithful in walking with you. Led by your Spirit in all that kingdom first, not mine own way. Let me be found in you, faithful each day.
Make that your prayer. To be found faithful. You may be seated. Thank you. Brother Holt, you have.
Have a word of prayer this morning. Father, we can't help but be very conscious of the presence of your Spirit among us here. We pray, Father, that as we gather together unto you this morning, throughout these meetings and the days that are before us, that gentle guiding and leading and your voice from within, Father, speaking your words to us, will somehow grow clearer and stronger, and our steps, dear Father, will become more sure, we pray. Father, we can't help but feel that the hour that we are living in is not as it has been entirely in the past. But we are, as your people, as your sons and daughters, growing, Father, and maturing under your care. Father, we pray that as these things are before us, this day is before us, that somehow we will be willing to step and take the responsibility, Father, that you would place upon us. Father, let us work and walk together by the leading of your Spirit, Father, in that unity of your Spirit, under your covering, within your peace, and under your direction, we pray. We thank you, Father. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time of being together, refreshing and renewing that we have already tasted of. Let the windows be open and the rivers be open, and let us drink to the full, we pray. We ask it in your name, Father. Amen. It's been wonderful so far. We've thoroughly enjoyed gathering together and being ministered to by the Spirit in every way. We can't help but feel that as we are meeting together and gathering together, that the Lord is speaking to us and kind of, I don't know if it's a higher level, but he's kind of talking to us in ways that are require some action on our part, I think. We need to hear what he is saying and walk in what he has set before us. And the ways of the Lord are not complicated. You know, I think we tend to complicate things ourselves, but his ways are simple, but they are right and they are true, and they are for us to walk in. As we have been meeting this week and this time, the Lord seems to be speaking to us about, maybe it's kind of reminding us, but speaking to us and bringing to our attention things that we have heard before, but yet it seems that he is saying to us, you know these things, but stand and walk in them and enter into them. A few weeks ago, we were meeting together as brethren. We had a little time of retreat together. And we've done that a couple of times, and it has been wonderful to have a time when we can just, we have no business to take care of, we can just talk about the things that are on our hearts to talk about. And it has been wonderful to have that opportunity. And we have felt very refreshed and edified by those experiences. But a few weeks ago, last May, we were together in northern Saskatchewan, and we were meeting together. And as we were going over certain things, the Lord spoke to us by prophecy, and he talked to us about unity and the importance of unity. And when he was speaking to us about that in my heart, it has never gone away since that time. When he kind of dropped that word into our heart, it was like the key for us to walk and enter into the things that are before us. We see the hour that we are in and the importance of these things, but the way that is before us is a way of unity. And I'd just like to this morning, the Lord willing, just talk to you a little bit about some of the things that relate to that. I'll just read some scriptures here. Psalms 133, verses 1 to 3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. It is as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded his blessing, even life evermore. And it just, that was the thing that just kind of stood out in that. It is in that place of unity, that the Lord will command his blessing. And it kind of, maybe this is kind of simplifying it here, but it just kind of came to mind that, you know, if the Lord said to us, you know, you go to this place, and when you go to that place, I will pour out my blessing upon you. Well, that place is unity. When we come together in unity, that's where his blessing will be poured out. And we are on that road, and the Lord is talking to us seriously about that. We are on that road. Even as we gather together in these meetings, you know, we feel a love amongst one another. We feel that unity. But we are on that road to walk in that place where his blessing will be poured out. And when we wonder what extent, you know, we're already kind of in unity. What is the Lord looking for? in us. And in John 17, 21 to 23, this is what Jesus prayed. He prayed that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. In other words, that we may come to full maturity in that place of unity. We are growing up. We are absolutely his children. When our family was small, I remember the first when our firstborn came along. To me, that was a miracle. I mean, here's this. We were going along with our family, and here this little child comes into our home, and our life was transformed by that. You can relate to that. But there was a change. But I'll tell you, from that moment, that child was always ours. And that child was always the center of our attention. But there was a process taking place for that child to grow and mature, make all kinds of mistakes along the way, but it was always our child. There were times when it had to be corrected. And there was times when it had to be instructed. But it was always our child. And we loved the child. And I think our walk before the Lord is like that. We have been born into his family. And we are loved of the Lord. I think, this just kind of came to mind the other day. I've kind of wondered sometimes if the Lord isn't sort of disappointed with some of the things that we get involved in, some of the things that we do. The thought that just came to mind about that, the Lord loves us as we love our own offspring, and even when they do things that are really not very good, his love never wavers from that. And he is walking with us, and he is with us. When we need a little correction, that correction is there to kind of get us back to where we ought to be. But his love is poured out upon us continually. And he is raising us up. But when our family was growing, they went from total dependency to maturity, where they could handle the responsibility of a mature person. And that was a pathway that they were on. They were in that environment of love, but they were on that pathway. And we are on a similar walk. The Spirit of the Lord is surrounding us, but we will come to maturity in unity. We will come together as a body in unity and into the place of maturity. In Ephesians 4, 1 to 3, it says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation to which you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. But that word endeavoring kind of stood out. That means work. If you're endeavoring to do something, there's work involved. And I remember when we were, at one point we were working together as brethren, and we have things to work together. Elders know about this. Elders and deacons, traveling deacons, homes and families, we're working together. And that word endeavoring, just endeavoring to be in unity, just kind of stood out. That means that we had to work at it. You might think, you know, it's pretty nice. You sit around the table and you talk and you agree on things and it's done and you're finished. It's not like that, you know. We all have our own ideas of how things should be done. We all have our own way. But you know, there is a way that is right. It's not my way, it's not somebody else's way, it's the Lord's way. And He has called together very imperfect vessels to do that. And we will not do His will in isolation. We will do His will as a body, walking together with every member, every part, fulfilling its place. I cannot, on my own, accomplish His will. I need the members of the body working together. You cannot. You need the members of the body coming together and walking together in that unity of the Spirit so that we walk as one and accomplish His purpose and His will. You have a part and I have a part and it comes together like that and His will is fulfilled. But I'd just like to point out a couple of things that the Apostle Paul said about that. When he's talking about coming together, he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. All lowliness, that means backing off a little bit sometimes. You know, we might think that when the Lord has kind of dropped something into your heart, that this is the way that it has to be. But we need to come together with humility because His purpose will be accomplished in His whole body. And one will have a part, another will have a part, and as that comes together, His purpose will be complete in that. And we absolutely depend upon every joint, every part, the working of every single part. There are things that contribute to unity. Maybe you could say they are components of unity. And one of those things is love. Love is necessary. We see it here. You know, it's here. When we gather together, there's a more than just fellowship going on here. You know, when we are together, we enjoy being together. We love the fellowship that is there. And there is a joining together in that. And you know, we don't like it when difficulties come into our life and when things come into our life that we have to deal with. But when you look over the way that the Lord is working with His body, there is nothing that is coming into our life that is driving us apart. It just seems that as these obstacles come along, we are drawn closer together as never before. We come together as a body as never before. And that love and that care and that concern for one another grows deeper and stronger as we walk as part of that body together. And in Matthew 22 and 36 to 40, the disciples asked him, they said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And what Jesus was pointing out there was that the law of His kingdom is based on love. You know, the laws of our country, we're fortunate. You know, the countries that we live in, we are fortunate. We live in an orderly society. And there are laws that govern our society. And it's based on justice. We have the legal justice system, Canada, United States, and we're fortunate to have that. That just means that, you know, I can't see something in my neighbor's yard and go over there and take it and bring it home to my house. The neighbor has a recourse about that. He can call somebody about that and say, you know, this isn't exactly right. And someone will come along to my house and I'll have to give it back. And I may have to also pay a penalty there to kind of be a deterrent from doing that the next time. But that's our society, and that's a good thing. But the law of the kingdom is a higher law. It's a law of love. You know, my wife and I travel to visit our family, they don't have to hide their silverware. They don't have to worry that we're going to walk away with something. It's not in our heart. That is not in our heart. We come with things to give to them and to help them and to work with them. And that's the law of love. It's in our homes. That is the law of the kingdom. And he said all of the law of the kingdom and the prophets is based on that. And that is the order that the Lord has set for the church. It's based on love. John 4:7-9, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That is the one aspect of unity, and that is something that we have to endeavor. We have to work towards that. You have to work towards that in your family. You have to put some effort into that to show that, to demonstrate that. But that is one aspect of unity that the Lord has placed in the body. And my wife and I were shopping in one of the stores in Toronto. I think it was IKEA, which is a big store, and it was very busy. And while we were there, it was a busy time of the day, and it's a big store, and it was just packed. She was looking at something, and I was just kind of walking around the store, keeping occupied. And I saw this child, probably around 2 years old, amongst all this crowd of people. There's this two-year-old child, and I could see him kind of looking at the different faces, and he seemed a bit anxious. And I watched him for a while, and I said to my wife, I think that child is lost. And she said, yeah, I think he is. I mean, he was just kind of going around. So I went to the one of the clerks, and I said, there's a child there. My wife stayed with the child. And I went to one of the clerks and said, you know, there's a child here. That it looks like the child is lost. And the clerk came over and started the process of trying to, you know, contact security and all of this. And while he was doing that, my wife looked over the crowd, and there was a lady over there that was just about as frantic, looking for this lost child. And you know, that little child looked at all the faces of these people, and you could tell there was nothing familiar there, and he was very upset. But when his mother was there, all of that went away. That child knew that in his mother's arms, he was surrounded with love, and he had nothing to fear. There was nothing to fear. The circumstances did not change at all. The same number of people were there. The circumstances were just the same, but someone that really cared for him had him in their arms, and all of that went away. And I thought, I watched that child, and I said, I thought to myself, you know, I can relate to that exactly. When the Spirit of the Lord is with us, all of the turmoil that surrounds us just goes away. There is that peace. There is that assurance that somehow we don't have to understand all of the details of the things that are going on. We know that someone who really cares for us is leading the way. And we will be well taken care of. And that is the environment that He is raising up His body. It is in love between one another and between our Heavenly Father. He said, what's the first and greatest commandment? First of all of the commandments, you know, His disciples said, what's the first? They were probably thinking it would be something very profound and very difficult to do. So that you should love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Praise God. And in the second aspect of unity, and these are basic things. These are not things that are difficult for us to understand at all. These are basic things. But you can't help but feel that we will not progress. We will not enter in. Though His word is certain, and though the pathway before us has been ordained right from the very outset, it is absolutely true. We will not enter in unless we come together the way that he is bringing His body together. We will stay where we are until that work of the Spirit is accomplished in us. We might think, you know, we'll just, when I see that, I'm just going to run right into it. Well, we will not. We will enter in as a body. You know, Israel entered into the Promised Land. They left Egypt as a company. They crossed the desert as a company. They came up to the Jordan River as a company. There was an order in that. There was nothing of their own doing in that at all. In fact, they no sooner came out of Egypt than the Lord brought them up against an impossible set of circumstances that they absolutely had to have the hand of the Lord open the way for them. And those things are for examples for us that we might expect. When we come against the circumstances before us, we don't have to figure out what we're going to do. The Lord will open the door for us and we will pass over as a body and as a company. We will walk together as one. He is raising up one body, one people, one order, one head, one way that the Lord has set before us, and He will guide us there. That is the road, that is the place, that is the way that we are on. We might think it's a small thing to be in conflict with one another when the Spirit of the Lord is saying, that will not be part of my body. That will not be there. Those things will be resolved. Those things will be addressed. Those things will be overcome until my people, my body, walk in absolute order and harmony according to my will. He said the pattern for that, the mature pattern for that, is the pattern of the Father and the Son that walk together as one. Jesus said, I don't do anything, I don't say anything, I don't do anything unless my Father directs the way. And He walked in absolute harmony and order with the will of His Father. And our walk will be absolutely no different from that. We are being raised up in that pattern. We are immature. And I can tell you this. I do a lot of running over here. And he does not give up on that. He just says, okay, back over here. And we do that with our offspring. We know about that. And as time goes on, almost miraculously, immaturity is left behind as maturity begins to take root. And we begin to walk according to the will of our Father. But let us be clear about that. There is no other way for us to walk or for us to enter in. The will of the Father will be our walk and our way, and we will walk as one into that. And there will be nothing, absolutely nothing, that can stand in the way, whether it's the Red Sea or the Jordan River or the enemies or whatever it might be, that can prevail against that when we walk together in unity. Praise God. The second part of that, second aspect of that, of unity, is submission. There needs to be submission. And these are things that we know about. We know about. I think it was Brother Luff that ministered about plurality and how that would not work in the secular world. And I can tell you for sure it would not work. You would have absolute chaos, you know. Somebody may, the head guy may not always be right, but he's always the head guy. And we'll go that way. But in the order of the church, the pattern, he has set for us a pattern that is impossible from the carnal aspect. It is impossible. It would be impossible to conform to the pattern that he has set by our natural intellect. But he has set that pattern for us. And he has set the pattern of plurality. And we come together as brethren. You know, maybe we can just think about elders for a minute. The plurality of eldership in the local church. I'll tell you, you know, I shared the eldership in Stratford with two other brethren. And I'll tell you the truth, I absolutely loved that. I loved being a part of that. It was wonderful. And to work together with the other brethren now as traveling brother, it is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. That doesn't mean that we always agree. That doesn't mean either that it's always smooth or there is no differences or there are no things to overcome. But there is a work of the Spirit that is right there. And when I can remember sitting together as elders and being from very different backgrounds, very different, very diverse, from the intellectual human aspect, you'd say, what is going on here? How can this ever work? I'll tell you how it works. It works by the Spirit and it works absolutely flawlessly. We come together and out of the collective perspective, direction comes forth. And I can tell you, if we ask for a show of hands here from elders, is that true? You'd have 100% agreement with that. You come together not knowing, not having any idea what's the resolution to this. This is deep. This is difficult. And in the collective working together, the Spirit of the Lord is in the midst of that. And He guides the way forward. And it is the same with the traveling brethren, very diverse brethren. But in that collective body, there is, out of that, there is walking together in unity because of the operation of submission. And that's not always, from a human nature point of view, that's not always that easy to kind of be able to walk in that. As we meet together, we all, you know, we might be discussing an issue, discussing something, and that we come to the table with a perspective on that. And as we talk about it, we may come with a preconceived ideas. You know, as we come to the table, I really think this is the way we'll be going with that. Another brethren will say, well, you know, wait a minute. I just see that just a little bit different. And I'll tell you this, it is absolutely necessary that we hear that thing that's a little bit different. Because there is a ministry in operation there. The Spirit of the Lord is dropping His Word into the hearts so that we can learn to hear His Word. Not opinions, someone that can make a strong case for something, but what is the Spirit of the Lord saying? And when that comes forth, there is a ministry in operation. Husbands and wives know something about that too. You sit together and you talk about the things of the home. You couldn't get two more diverse points of view come together. But out of that, I'll tell you this. When my wife says something, there is no way that I just brush that off. There's no way. I want to hear what she has to say. And out of that, out of these things, as you discuss things and listen to these things and go over them, the direction of the Spirit comes forth. And we learn in that to submit and to yield to one another. If there is no submission in that, the Spirit of the Lord cannot do the work that needs to be done. This body will walk together in submission. We will walk in unity as we submit to one another. We will recognize the ministry in one another. The value. It's not by who can sing the best or who can preach the best sermon or who has the best understanding of a topic. It is where is the Spirit of the Lord placing His hand that ministry is operating so that we know the way forward. And He will work in that unity of the body. And that is the process. That is the process that we are in. We might be in the beginning stages of that, but it will continue. That process will continue until we stand in that same unity as the Father stands with the Son. Impossible to conceive of. Yet that is the pathway and that is the road. That is the way that we are on. He will not be satisfied with something less. We might wonder sometimes why things in our personal life don't always go as smooth as we had planned. The unexpected happens. He says He is a refiner and a purifier of silver. The refining and purifying process takes some heat. And I'll tell you, once that refining process has progressed, that initial product is not the same. You can ask Brother Chinnis about some of the things relating to metallurgy in this area. Tremendous changes come about by those processes. There's a change of this. What was the starting point as that refining takes place? He is working like that. And I'll tell you, some of these experiences that come into our life that we perhaps don't appreciate what is actually taking place, when it is all over and what is said and done, we are not the same. We are not the same. There has been a change take place in us. And there is a master refiner at work overseeing that process. It's not quite as chaotic as we think it might be when we're in it at the time. We might think, oh man, why did that ever happen? It was going so well. And then that happened. There is nothing casual about that. There's nothing haphazard about that. It is a careful examination of where we are and what is needed for us to progress into the place where every defect, every imperfection is removed, and we will be able to stand in that place that has been prepared for us. There is a road that the Lord has us on. But in that process, as that process is taking place, that submission will come into perfection. We will say, as Jesus said, it's not my will, it's my Father's will. And I might find my Father's will in your ministry. As you exercise your ministry, that may be the very thing that begins to indicate our Father's will. And we come together and we walk together in that unity of the Spirit. I'll just read this in Ephesians 5:18-21. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And also in Ephesians 4:14-16, Philip's translation, we are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance wind of teaching and the jockeying of men who are expert in the craft of presenting of lies, but we are meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to grow up in every way into Christ the head. For it is from the head that the whole body, as a harmonious structure, knit together by joints with which it is provided, grows by the proper functioning of the individual parts to its full maturity in love. We are growing in that process, and it is coming to perfection. Praise God. Romans, still talking about submission here, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I have kind of thought, you know, in times past, well, we know what it is to be led by the Spirit, therefore we're sons. I mean, that's, yeah, we gather together, we let the Spirit lead our services, and we endeavor to let the Lord direct our ways. But I'll tell you, there is a being led of the Spirit that we probably have not tasted the fullness of that yet. Where we don't have a will except what the Spirit is leading. And he directs, and there's nothing conflicting with that. I'm still an awful lot like a child, you know. You kind of feel the tugging and you go here. I mean, there's still, I have to admit that, you know, there is still that here. As the Lord is working there, that maturity will come as his Spirit leads us exactly where he wants us to be. And John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. This is Jesus speaking. I can of my own self do nothing. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. It was a little bit, I read that not so long ago, once again, and I was a little surprised by that. It kind of visualized Jesus, you know, you read about his ministry and you think that he just kind of walked through the communities and he healed and he taught and he just did all of those wonderful things. But he said, I don't do anything. I don't do anything. I cannot do anything except I am guided and directed by my Father. He did only what his Father directed him to do. That's the mature son. We know something also about submission in the home. Let me just read this. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And in Ephesians 1:6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers, let me stop there first. In Ephesians 1:6, children, obey your parents. But in that order that the Lord has set in the home, there is submission there. We know something about that. And when that order is in its proper place, when our homes are in order that way, when the husband accepts the responsibility of headship, that is a responsibility. A man has to step up and accept that, to go before his family and lead them in the right way. Go before them and accept that office to do that. As a wife, he submits to the things that the Spirit of the Lord impresses upon his heart regarding his family. He walks in the teaching that he's been taught. He accepts that and understands that and sets his household in order. And as his wife walks in that union there, in that tremendous union between husband and wife, the pattern there is the same between husband and wife as it is between Christ and the church. It's the same pattern. It's like a oneness, no separation at all. Yet in that, there is a headship, and there is a submission to that headship. And as the wife fulfills that place, and the children walk in obedience to the order of the home, as they do that, that home, from every part of it, is walking under the direction of the head, who, our Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of this of that house. You let any part of that break down, and that's not true. There will be a disconnect there. And the Lord has set the mechanisms in place to deal with that. You know, I guess, you know, learning parenting is a learning process. And you know, when children are born into your home, you think this is amazing. You know, and it's really amazing as long as it's just your wife that has to get up in the middle of the night, and not the husband. That's even more amazing. My wife will get up and say, "Oh man, I had a rough night last night, and I never heard a thing." You know, I never heard a thing. But you know, as those little ones are growing up, input is needed. Direction is needed for them to learn to walk right. And I can remember in our home, you know, these there was nothing sort of abnormal about these children, I don't think, but they would do some abnormal things. And it can put your house in chaos. I mean, I can remember one time our two daughters, they were close enough in age that they were fairly competitive. And there'd be times when they would just be at one another, and it just affected the peace of the whole house. I mean, our whole house was just in turmoil as these children were at one another. But then the parents could step in, and discipline could be applied. And I'll tell you, it restored peace. It brought peace back to the home. There is a process there. There is a process in the body. We are learning these things. Chaotic things will happen. Disorders will be there. But there is a process to bring that back to where it belongs, so our Heavenly Father is the head and His will just flows out through the whole body. And we walk in harmony and order together. But we are learning those things. We are learning to put those things into place so that is true. That is the way that we walk before the Lord. And then the last thing in that part, I think it was the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." That's kind of our responsibility, I guess, to the body. I remember reading that a while ago and thinking, boy, you know, it'd be nice to be able to say that. You know, just follow me as I follow the Lord. But I'll tell you this, we have to be able to say that. We have a responsibility to be able to say that. We have to walk in such a place that our brothers and sisters can just walk together in that unity, in that harmony with us. We won't always get it right. We won't always get it right. But we are growing and we are learning and coming into that place of maturity where we can walk that road that the Lord has set before us. So that was the second aspect of unity, and that was submission. The third aspect of unity is forgiveness. And I'd just like to talk to you a little bit about that. Matthew 6 and 12, when Jesus was praying, the disciples said, they asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." So we know that, you know, we call it the Lord's Prayer. He went through that and he told them, taught them how to pray. And in part of that, it says in Matthew 6 and 12, and he says, "And forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us." Use that same pattern. Think about that for a minute. You know, are we standing in the place when someone does something to me, maybe even deliberately, we want our Heavenly Father to forgive us all, everything. In fact, you know, I just take it for granted that He has. And maybe that's not right, but I just assume that, okay, I made that mistake and I ask for forgiveness. But there's a contingency on that. That I also, that's true, that is true. No matter what my past, that in itself is a miracle. Amen. You can find someone in the worst circumstances, the worst background, the worst environment. There is no depth that a man or woman can fall where you can't talk to him about salvation and his sins will be washed absolutely clean. That is true. There is no doubt about that. But there is a contingency to that. We must also exercise that same forgiveness. We have been forgiven. There are things that are done against us, maybe accidentally, maybe not. But there is a place in us when we have to exercise that too, that brings that to its fullness in us. It's a requirement of us. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, verse 14, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. When I read that, you know, I just kind of had to stop for a minute. That's pretty strong words. If I'm harboring something and say, you know, I just cannot let that go, just remember what he said about that. We absolutely have to let it go. We absolutely have to. And in that place, there is no excuse within the body for these things to remain as divisions among us. He is bringing together a body in perfection. It does not matter what things we may that may be there that seem to be insurmountable. He has made provision for it to be removed so that we can come together in perfect unity. Luke 23 and 24 then said Jesus, Father, I just wanted to point this out. This is an example, I guess, of a mature son, and with this aspect of forgiveness in operation. This is the road that the Lord is calling us to walk upon. We look at that and they say, it's wonderful, and it's true. It's wonderful. It is true. The things that He is saying to us today are true. And we are on that road, and we are progressing towards that perfection. It is true. And there is the example been given to us. And in this case, Jesus was being put to death on the cross. And as the human aspect, I guess, for no fault of his own, he had committed no error worthy of this. This was Roman judgment. This was the practice of the day. Brutal. It was a brutal society. Their laws were extreme. I mean, they could be extremely brutal. And they convinced the authority that he must be put to death that way, even though he stood absolutely innocent. And as that was transpiring, for no fault of his own, he had followed his Father's will exactly throughout his ministry. He had followed that. He had broken the bonds of wickedness. He had healed. He had taught. He had led and instructed the people in the right way. He had done all of that work. And at the end of that, He was falsely accused and hung there, dying. And as he was dying, he was watching those down below. And they had no more concern for him about his circumstances, that they were simply flipping a coin for his clothes to see who would get his clothes. They were just throwing the dice to see who would get his clothes. And he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't understand what's taking place here." But there is the pattern. There is no barrier there. There is no kind of extent where you say, okay, that's a line that has just been crossed, that I cannot let that go. That doesn't exist, you know. That doesn't exist. That may be difficult for us, but that is the road that we are on. Where there are those things that are there, there comes a time when they have to be let go. We have to let them go and let the Spirit of the Lord forgive and wash clean, because that is the pattern of the body that He is bringing together. And Ephesians 4 and 32, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And then in Matthew 18, I'll just say this in closing. In Matthew 18, and we have been taught, Brother Luff has done considerable amount of work with the other brethren, to kind of, you know, we be able to deal with issues that arise among us. It's like in our families, we have to deal with things, and there's a right way to do it. There's a proper way to do that. And we've been looking to the Lord, you know, about that, so that when these things come up, they can be dealt with properly. And so in Matthew 18, it had just been worked through all of that process, how that should be handled. And then in verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Okay, what's the limit on this? What's the limit on this? We go through this process and he does it again. You know, at what point are we able to say, okay, that's it. That's it. We've hit the seventh time and now something's going to be done. Jesus said, no, not seven, 70 times seven. And I don't think he meant 490 times either. I think he meant there is no limitation there. You forgive, you let it go, you forgive and you let it go until the day comes when those things are no longer among us at all. Praise God. There's no limitation on that work. There is a process, there's a way of dealing with them, but our forgiveness is the same as his forgiveness. It's without limit. It's without limit. Someone comes to us and says, you know, I stumbled again. You know, you think of that. You know, there are vices in our society, entrapments of the enemy that are very severe. A person can have all the will in the world to lay them behind and they cannot do it. And they struggle with that and they fall again. There is no limitation in the times that they can come and be restored and be helped until somehow, at some point, at some place, that is overcome and gotten beyond. So just leave that with you this morning. But the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us about coming together as His body according to the pattern that He's set for us. Praise God. Lord bless you. Any announcements?
Announcements are coming up. Two quick announcements. For the person that accidentally left a gold-plated Rolex in the men's restroom, the time is 11:30. Okay. I just want to see if you're awake. Okay, this afternoon they're swimming. I want to read one verse here. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, in like manner, the women, please adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, for that which is becometh godliness and good works. So I'd like to encourage you, particularly you ladies, if you're swimming this afternoon, take a look at what you're wearing. Look down. If you see a lot of skin, put a T-shirt on. So Brother Loft gave us a great exhortation to men and women that if your eyes are looking at something and it causes you to be lustful, he kept saying, look away, look away, look away. But sometimes, where do you look? So if you are wearing something that makes it difficult for a guy to look someplace else, just cover it up. So we just want you to be modest. This is a church camp. And so if you have something that's revealing at the pool, please put a T-shirt on. Thank you.
I know that you're wondering about Dot Lowe. I know that she was taken to High Point Regional just for observation and to check to make sure she was okay. She was fine when she left. They just want to make sure that her vitals are going to be stable. And I know that she and the family appreciate your prayers. And I know that Dot did not want to go. But she understood that this was a necessary thing that needed to happen. So please keep her in your prayers. And we look for her to be back here very soon. The only announcement that I have, unless someone else has something else, we had quite the turnout last night at the campfire by the building. So if you're not getting enough heat during the day, then we welcome you to join us for the roaring fire on the patio. We are working out the details of the campfire on the mountain. I'll give you some more information on that later. We do not want the patio campfire or any of these activities to detract from the hard work that everyone from each of the local churches have done to pull together the refreshments. So we want to schedule that in such a way that it doesn't take away anything from that. So I think from what I saw last night, it did not. But please keep in mind that we want to make sure we fellowship together as a group during those refreshments. Again, we had, I think, 60 gathering around that fire last night, so it was very nice. All right, are there any other announcements?
Tonight, I would like to encourage those of you that have been prayed over with the gift of healing or the gift of faith, or you have intercessory prayer, be in prayer today for the meeting tonight. Let's expect some things to happen tonight, and I'd like you to be mentally and spiritually prepared. As I was sitting there, I just got a text message from Greg Olson. We prayed last night. He had a biopsy. He says, a doctor just called in giant letters, no cancer.
Amen.
Amen. So he says here to thank everybody for your prayers last night. So let's expect miracles tonight as well.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please stand. Our Father, we have so much to be thankful for. We don't want to take anything for granted, Lord. We thank you for hearing your word. We thank you that you are showing unto us a better way. We thank you, Lord, that you're challenging us that we should decrease so that you might increase. Father, we look to you for that life that you desire to give us in a deeper and more meaningful way. Lord, our hearts are open to you. We are open books before the throne of grace. And we ask, O Lord, that you will write your laws upon the tables of our heart. Lord, that we will be living epistles of the grace and mercy of the living God. And that, Lord, we put our full confidence in you, and that we will not waver regardless of the things that may be happening around us, that the world may know that you have sent us and put your hand upon us, Lord. We thank you for your many, many blessings, for the good night's rest, for the breeze you've given us today, for the blessings that you have bestowed upon each of us. And we ask, O Lord, that as we leave, that we'll be mindful of each of these things. We continue to pray for our sister Dot. Lord, that you will raise her off that bed of affliction, Lord. And Lord, that as a result of it, it will cause others, it will cause many to turn to you, Lord. And Lord, that she will return to us soon and be fully of all of her faculties, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.